Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Yechezkel Perek Membeis, the 42nd chapter of Yechezkel. We are continuing in our excursion. We're walking along with Yechezkel as he is shown by this spectre, this angel, what the third Beis HaMikdash will look like. And he's being guided through the different parts of the vicinity. In the last Perek, he went through the inner chambers, through the Ulam, the Heichal, and the passing by the Kodesh Kadoshim, and towards the outer wall of the Kodesh and the Heichal. What we're going to be focusing on today is the storerooms and perimeter. So let's just recap a general sense of picture over here. The Beis HaMikdash is essentially two squares. One very large square, which is about 326 amah by 326 amah square, which is the outside, the Chatzer HaChetzonah, the outside courtyard. Internally, in the very center of that is an 100 by 100 amah internal square, which is the Chatzer HaPnimi, the internal courtyard, in the center of which is the Mizbeach. On the westmost side, so assuming west is oriented upwards, on the very top of the diagram, off the where the gate, where the west gate for the inner courtyard would be the entrance to the Ulam, the Heichal, and the Kodesh Kodashim. That's where the sanctum is. And if we zoom out and sort of get a sense of perspective over the larger structure, in each of the corners of the Chatzer HaChitzon and the outside courtyard are what's called Lishkois. Well, that's going to be the focus of our parak over here. Lishkois is some sort of storage room, some sort of area where activities of the Beis HaMikdash administrative or holy ritual activities were performed in these areas. So we're going to focus on those right now. The first few psukim, we're moving from Aleph to Yud Beis, discuss these Lishkos. In fact, there are four, and they are called the Lishkos Hameya and the Lishkos HaChamishim. The Hameya means to say 100, which means to say that the ones on the western wall, so if you're imagining west as upwards, on the top right and left corners of the outside courtyard, parallel to the Kodesh, parallel to the sanctuary, are these long, elongated, 100 amah long storage rooms, or Lishkos, or rooms. And they're on either side, they flank the Kodesh on either side in the outside courtyard. In the bottom right and left hand corners are square Lishkos. They're called Lishkos Chamishim by the Mefarshim. They're the ones of 50 amos by 50 amos. They're smaller boxes on the bottom right. So essentially four sets of storage rooms which are being described in this area. And in this description we're told that there is a ledge which goes from essentially north to south. So if you can imagine, the inner courtyard has three gates, one to the east, one to the north, one to the south, and where the west gate would be is entering into the Ulam and the Heichal and the Kodesh Kodashim, into the inner sanctuary. Where the western wall of the Kodesh Kodashim ends, it's an empty wall, there's a passageway behind it in the wall, but in the back wall of that is not at the edge of the outside perimeter of the courtyard. In fact, there's another 100 amas beyond that. So the wall, essentially, there's what exists is a ledge. And that ledge is called, in the words over here, is called an attic. The attic, al panei attic b'shlishim. And this would go from the full the northmost edge and to the southmost edge of the external courtyard, sort of running parallel to the edge of the Kodesh Kadashim. And it sort of touches the edges of the Lishkos Hameya, of the larger storage areas which are to be found on the right and the left of the Heichal, of the inner sanctum. And we're told that in this description that these upper Lishkos are in fact three stories high, and we're told the wall tapers inwards towards Alishkos El Yonis Katsurois, Ki Yuchlu Atikim Meheno Mitachtios Mitachtonos Mitachtonos Binyan. So it was, the walls were tapering inwards, they were thinner at the top than they were at the bottom. So this is the description we get in the first section of this perek. The next section of the perek actually gives us the function of these lishkos. So from Yud Gimel to the next pasuk, Yud Aleph, only two pasukim, we're told what is the function of each of these lishkos. In this section, it's interesting, as the Mefarshim explained, the Da'at Mikra points out very explicitly over here, that each pasuk actually deals with a different set of the lishkos. So the first pasuk, Yud Gimel, deals with the lishkos hameya, the larger ones which are next to the Kodesh Kodashim, and this is what it says. Heino lishkos ha-kodesh, they're the holy lishkos, asher yochru sham ha-kohanim, asher krovim la-Hashem, they can eat, the kohanim who are close to Hashem can eat there, kodesh kodashim, their holy of holy meats, Sham Yanichu Sham Kodesh HaKodashim, Aminucha V'Achata Zohar Sham Ki HaMakom Kodosh. That area is considered holy, which means to say, halachically speaking, the Lishkos HaMeah, the larger ones on the right and the left of the Kodesh area, have the same level of sanctity and can be used, therefore, by the Kohanim to eat their holy meats, even though they are in the Chatzar HaKitzon, even though they are in the outside courtyard. Pasuk Yud Dalid deals with the Lishkas HaChamishim, the smaller ones in the bottom side, the eastern side on the north and the south of the outside courtyard. This the pasuk says, "Bevoana kohanim v'lo yetsa me'akodesh el achatzir achitzana shom yanichu bigdayim asher yoshosu bohem ki kodesh heina." So this is where they would leave their clothes. This is not the same level as kodesh, but it would be a place where they could leave their clothes before exiting further. So each of them had their own specific use. Finally, the parak concludes the last few psukim from Tes Vov to Pasuk Chof to describe the extent of Har Habayis, the Temple Mount. What is fascinating about this is that as you leave each of the three gates, so you leave the gate on the east or the north and the south, as you leave the Chatzar HaChitzona, we're told that they would measure this, this angel would measure, maybe he's carrying a measuring rod and he's carrying a string. So he's voitzi eini derech hashar in pasuk tesov. He took me out of the gate. Asher ponov derech hakadim umedadoi soviv, and he measured all the way around the whole perimeter of Har Habayis. And what does he do? Modad ruach hakadim b'knei hamidah chamesh meos kanim b'knei hamidah soviv. And the one perimeter, the one side of Har Habayis would be 500 of these knei hamidah, of this measuring stick. How much is the measuring stick? So the Rashi points out that each measuring stick, the standard measuring stick, is 6 amos, which means it has 500 sticks. Measuring sticks would fit into this, the one side, the eastern side of the Har Habayis. That means to say we're talking about 3,000 amos, which is a very large area. And this was for both the east and west side and the north and south side. So we're talking about a large box of essentially 3,000 amos on each side. That's roughly 5,300 feet in each direction. It's a very large area that we seem to be talking about for the Har Habayis. And the perek concludes by saying that at that end there was a saviv, chamola saviv saviv, orech chamesh meot, orechav chamesh meot. It needs to be consolidated, but it sounds like it's around the perimeter of Har Habayis. Lahavdil ben hakodesh lachol, to divide between holiness and profane. This doesn't mean to say profane as in bad, but the city of Yerushalayim has a different halachic status than the status of the Har Habayis itself. And for halachic reasons, Rashi points out that certain people who are impure, Zovin, Zovos, and Nidos, and Yodos, certain people who are in the stage of still being purified could not enter the Har Habayis, whereas they could still be in Yerushalayim, which is why they needed to have this perimeter of Kedusha. There was varying different levels of Kedusha over here. The Da'at Mikra points out that, you know, this is a very large area. This is a much bigger area than the first or the second base of Migdash for the Har Habayis. It's a very, very large area. And this is something we're yet to aspire and see actually in fruition when Mashiach comes. One last point I would just leave with off with is that just a note which is fascinating. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in his Pirush on the Torah in Emes LeYaakov and Parashas Bo notes the very interesting fact that at the times of the building of the second base of Migdash, at the times of Chagai and Zechariah, it is pretty clear that they already had Yechezkel's plans for the base of Migdash. They had this colossal plan of this huge structure, this huge Har Habayis, this huge Migdash, but clearly they did not use it. They made a much more humble, much smaller structure, smaller even than the first one. Why is that? So on the one hand, you could just say pragmatically they weren't given the permission by the Persians, or they didn't have enough money to even finance such an operation. But Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky argues that in fact it was an active decision they made in order to specifically give the indicator to the people of the time that they had not yet left the woods. They were not yet out of Golus. Even though, yes, they were allowed to build the second commonwealth, the second base of Migdash at this point in time, this was not Geula. There was no Aaron in the second base of Midrash. There was no Shechina. There was no Nevuah. Nevuah was petering out. We talk about a very complicated and complex time. It was a time where he argues that the nation of Israel was brought back to the land of Israel to perhaps to create a bastion of Torah Shebaal Peh, which would allow them to survive better in the oncoming Galus. But it was ultimately clearly a decision made when building the second base of Midrash that it would not look like the plans they already had for the third, which is what we're learning now. It gives a little bit of a more of a humble perspective what the Bayis Sheni was. At the same time, also the hopes and aspirations that we should see this b'Mehirah Yomeinu. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.